You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Tuesday, April 4th, 2017. And this is the Roto Experts in the Morning alongside Matt Modica and Corey, the Fantasy Executive Parson. I am Greg Sussman. A lot to talk about on the show today. Yesterday was opening day, and yet the two biggest stories in sports, not baseball related. Isn't it amazing how that works, Corey?
I kind of hate to say that. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. We obviously, with a lot of respect for opening day, a high holy day in all of sports. A preclude to the summertime, but definitely got some big news stories that's breaking right now. Of course, last night, the North Carolina Tar Heels claimed their national championship, 2017 NCAA tournament champion, North Carolina Tar Heels. And then, of course, we have, some other breaking news with Tony Romo. So, a lot going on, but still got plenty of baseball to talk about.
Yeah, both opening days are now in the books. Baseball is officially back. I'm excited about that. I think Tony Romo made the right decision here. And it's going to be a wild Tuesday.
Yeah, so let's start with this Romo news, because it's the one that's breaking. We'll get the national championship in just a few, I promise you that. But Tony Romo news breaking, Adam Schefter reports that Dallas is expected to release him today, and he knows that, and he's going to retire anyway, because evidently CBS or Fox have ponied up enough money to make him retire. You know, it's, to me, clearly money related, right? Like, these, as important as playing football is, planning post football is extremely important too, right? Like, you have these guys are close to 40 years old. You still hopefully have another 30 years of professional life left in you. And what are you going to do in that job?
More than that.
I'm saying at least.
Up to 70.
I didn't say life as a professional.
Oh, okay.
Before you retire.
I'm not saying life. I'm trying to be here
to
110.
To be working to 110. I'm not going to work
that long. They probably would be like, Corey, you're too old to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't set lineups anymore when you're 110.
Right. So the thought process here is that there's all these primetime opportunities to be on one of the top crews, a playoff crew and whatnot, only come around every so often. And the network's only willing to pay up every so often. And Tony Romo, at this time, going to be released, a free agent opening at a network. You can go to ESPN whenever you want, but if he wants to be a game caller and make millions doing it and still be around the game, traveling every week to football games and not take the toll on his body, he now has an opportunity with John Lynch out at Fox Sports, now the general manager in Denver, in San Francisco, rather. And the rumor with Phil Simms, CBS would push him aside for Tony Romo. Two big-time opportunities that, realistically, if Romo became the quarterback of the Texans, would be filled. So it looks like, Corey, the number finally was up to Romo's liking to leave football, step away, and go into the broadcast booth.
Yeah, I think, and I think it's probably something that he considered probably through the season as he started to realize that, there was no way that this was going to be his gig anymore, that he was no longer fit to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. So, obviously the idea of entertaining and playing for someone else and coming back and showing the Cowboys that he still had it was there. But I remember years ago, now that you mentioned it, a broadcast with Troy Aikman. And Troy said he's going to have a hard time turning around playing a long career because back injuries, they absolutely linger.
They linger
and they cripple you. The most famous guy is Larry Bird. You feel what I'm saying? You remember Larry Bird when his back really started to give up on him. Larry Bird had to lay on the damn bed on the floor. You know what I'm saying? And the Dream Team, Larry Bird was laying on the floor because his back was just tough. We've seen Phil Jackson sitting on that medicated chair because of his back. So now you got another situation where an athlete, 34, 35 years old for a quarterback is not old by any stretch of the imagination. So really this back injury is taking Romo 4 months when I still believe that he would have had some good years left if it was like a shoulder or an oblique or a leg or something like that. But this back just like took all zapped all the strength from him and really limited him to what he could do. Because you got to think, even if Tony Romo was to come back and play and continue, another back injury was likely lingering.
Well, one more thing that we're missing here is this breaking news also. The Houston Texans are officially screwed now.
Well, let's be honest, right? The report from Schefter says he's retiring, quote, for now, right? Like, it's subject to change. To me, once he gets released, before he officially puts his retirement papers in, Houston's going to come calling, and they're going to offer him a boatload of money to come be their quarterback. We all know this isn't a surprise. Is Romo mentally retired? Maybe. Is the thought process of, I'm going to make a ton of money just sitting in a booth and not getting hurt out there? Absolutely. Will Houston offer enough to get him to reconsider, Corey? I think that's the question.
Yeah, I think we're getting into tricky territory with this one right here, right now, because, you know, it'll more than likely be a press conference. He'll say that he's retired, that he's done.
If there is, I think that changes the story. If it's a press release and Dallas releases him, and Tony Romo doesn't say anything today.
Tony Romo will be in Texas Stadium having a news conference. Jerry Jones will be sitting. Jerry Jones will flank him. The Joneses will flank him. And I think that Tony Romo will go into Dallas Cowboy lore. So I do think that happens.
Now, he's not the only quarterback that goes into the Dallas Cowboy lore without winning a Super Bowl. Be serious.
Okay.
Just saying.
What, he's taking Phil Simms' job? How you feel about that?
Phil Simms deserves to lose his job.
Okay,
he's
a terrible
guy. I agree on that.
If he's taking Phil Simms' job, which I'm not convinced he is.
Okay, listen. And I would like, if it was Dallas Cowboy fans that's been around for a little bit, if you're listening to the program, please give us a telephone call.
844-843-6879.
He doesn't have the Super Bowl pedigree of Roger Staubach. He doesn't have the Super Bowl pedigree of Troy Aikman. You know, I get that. But he's better than Danny White ever was. And that's important to me. You know what I'm saying? Because you got a lot of people out there that say, well, he's just another Danny White. Tony Romo is a better quarterback than Danny White ever was. Romo has had some MVP seasons. Romo also played in the era with Tom Brady. It's different. When you play in the era with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, it's tougher to get there.
It is, but it's not like Troy Aikman didn't, you know, play in the same era as like a Joe Montana. You know, a little bit later, the end of Joe Montana.
Yeah, Joe Montana was coming
Steve
up on
Young.
The
end. Steve Young, Brett Favre.
Steve Young was a Hall of Famer, but sure, they didn't have, you know.
They're not the GOATs.
Tony Romo's had teams. He really didn't have a complete team until 2014. He took that team. Des Bryant caught that pass.
He did catch that pass.
The Cowboys won that game. The next week, they play Seattle, who they'd already beat that year.
Sure.
You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Comes back in 2015, gets injured. Comes back in 2016, gets injured. His last 10 games that he started, his record is 9-1.
He told me that quite a bit.
Yeah, I know. The guy can play. But his body's not allowing him to.
I mean, I think he's making the right decision. This is one of the jobs that, you know, as you mentioned, you can do for 25, 30 years. It's a great job. It's a high-paying job. It's a high-profile job. And with back injuries, you want to have a life post-football career. He's got kids. You know, you want to be able to
play with him. Yeah.
We want to play with them. Yeah. Take them to games and stuff. So, I mean, I think without a doubt, it would be the right move. As Greg mentioned, can he be lured by the Houston Texans, who are going to do everything in their power to make him not retire? Because, you know, they're pretty much 2017 hopes are riding on Tony Romo.
They got Young Savage, Tom Savage. Yeah,
they're going to have to do something about this.
I mean, Savage is better than the other guy.
Tom Savage can get the job done.
No, he can't.
So you would move DeAndre Hopkins down draft boards because you're worried about Tom Savage?
Yes.
I like Tom Savage better than the guy they had last year. I can deal with Tom Savage.
I agree, Corey. He's better than the guy they had.
I have watched a lot of Tom Savage in my life.
Where'd Tom Savage go to college at?
He went to Rutgers, transferred to Pitt, transferred again. I mean, he transferred like four times in college because nobody wanted him.
Tom Savage can get the ball.
No, he can't. What have you seen from Tom Savage to make you think that?
Huh? What have I seen?
Yes.
I've seen him pepper DeAndre Hopkins with targets.
Once.
He doesn't have a chance. Tom Savage is better than Brock Osweiler.
I can't say that for sure.
All right. He's better than Brock Osweiler.
I would be very, very nervous as a DeAndre Hopkins owner, which I'm not right now.
Yeah, I mean, a lot does roll. Yeah, they do have a nice offense. The only piece that's missing is the quarterback. Can Savage do it? I'm gonna hold out on that one. I'm not really sure he can. He's definitely an upgrade from their previous situation, but I mean, a Tony Romo there would be really nice.
All right, so listen. All right, so if you're the Houston Texans right now, I'm getting comfortable here. I'm rolling up my sleeves. Mm-hmm. Now I'm taking my watch off. I'm getting comfortable right now. I got something funny going on text message too. I think I'm be willing to share that with y'all. It's personal business, but it's funny because I think that my response is going to be pretty. So, we are the general manager of the Houston Texans right now. What do you do with this? What do you do these next couple of weeks if you can't get Tony Romo?
I can't go to my owner and be like, I need as much money as you have.
I need a blank check, basically.
Yes. Can I do that? Or no?
You do that.
Yeah.
You go to the owner, I need a blank check. Romo turns down that blank check. You have the NFL draft coming up, right? And you got a couple of quarterbacks still lingering out there. One of them, a big piece that, you know, Houston is a different type of city in Texas. But for the most part, it's still Texas. You feel what I'm saying? So you got a fan base you're going to try to sell on Colin Kaepernick. You're going to get a blank check for Tony Romo. Or you do the right thing and go get Deshaun Watson.
It's not that easy. Because if you believe that, you have said this repeatedly, you believe that Deshaun Watson is the best quarterback in this draft, right? Like you said, you think he should go in the top pick. You think he should go in the top 10, the top 15. Houston doesn't have the ammo to just go up and get him anymore. Remember, they traded that second round pick along with Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, they did.
They don't have as much ammo as some other teams to do this. Like, I don't think if they're going to have to trade up to get a guy like Deshaun Watson, I don't know that they can do that. Now, let's say Deshaun Watson's not there. Let's say the quarterbacks that are there left for him are Mitchell Trubisky, are Pat Mahomes. Like, everyone loves Mahomes, but he's a development guy. He's not coming in day one and starting. I know a lot of people will link him there, given that he played at Texas Tech in the air raid offense, and they'll feel like that. Oh, natural fit, Texas guy, blah, blah, blah. He's not a day one starter for this team. And you look at Mitchell Trubisky, he's not a day one starter for Houston. He's not bringing them to the Super Bowl. This is a major issue now for Houston.
So then you unload draft picks and go get a franchise quarterback.
I think they put all their eggs in this Tony Romo basket.
I agree. I think that was their MO. They thought they had Romo. The team that they had, the 1 year left, you know, make that run. But like you said, I agree. If they can't get Romo, they are going to have to take somebody and gamble on them to be their future and ride the Tom Savage wave for now, I guess.
So, Tom Savage, why are you trapping so hard? So, all right. So, what about Colin Kaepernick? So now it comes into fit and locker room and stuff like that.
No, I don't care. I don't care about that.
Colin Kaepernick don't want to play either.
I don't care about. No, I think he does want to play, and I don't care about that. Is Colin Kaepernick good enough to bring this team to the playoffs? Is my question to you. I don't care about.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Colin Kaepernick.
When was the last time he was good on the field? I don't care about anything else off the field. When was the last time he was good?
He was good last year.
Was he? He was petrified to throw the ball down the field.
Yeah, he's a good fantasy asset, I think. He's a better fantasy.
That's like you telling me Blake Bortles was good last year.
Think that Colin Kaepernick with a strong running game in Lamar Miller,
right?
A head coach in O'Brien, who is known for working with quarterbacks. That's his MO. That's his thing. Didn't work with Brock last year.
Right.
You think that he cannot take Colin Kaepernick and Colin Kaepernick take that team to a division championship and put them into the Final Four in the AFC with that defense
and
those pieces with a piece like DeAndre Hopkins on the outside?
I don't think Kaepernick's good enough.
I think they could win the division, but I don't know.
Okay, but what did he have in San Francisco last year?
Nothing.
He had Chip Kelly and some ragtags. Put a team around him like Houston. What support? What a running game. What an O-line. What a good defense.
Mark Bishop has the name.
Who?
Mark Bishop on Twitter has the name for us.
What?
You're not going to like this. He's right.
Who?
Light it up, baby. Light one up.
Move for who?
For Smoking Jay Cutler.
Oh, come on. Okay.
Well, you know what? As much as I...
You hate it? You hate Jay Cutler? Jay Cutler can get the ball to DeAndre Hopkins.
He does.
You tell
that
me,
does make sense.
If Jay Cutler was there, or Colin Kaepernick was there, or Tom Savage was there, and you had DeAndre Hopkins on your fantasy team, which you just told me you did, which of those quarterbacks do you want throwing the ball? The answer is Jay Cutler, and you know it.
I agree. With the wide receivers they have, the tight end in C.J. Fedorowicz, and the running back in Lamar Miller, who should be used properly this season, I'm going to have to agree. I would rather have Cutler over
Colin Kaepernick.
Over Kaepernick.
I take Smoking Jay over Kaepernick also. But listen, Texans fans, Smoking Jay is smoking mirrors. Smoking Jay is going to lose you a game in a big spot, mm-hmm. period. Yeah. And guess what? He's not going to give a shit either. He's going to lose you that game. He's going to go to the sideline. He'll be like, oh, I'm sorry. Feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No passion, no energy, no care. That's what Jay Cutler is. So if you're willing to take that, so be it.
I think he at least offers, I kind of agree with this, you know, as much as you don't want to, but given the current climate, the current situation, it's probably the right choice if Romo stays retired.
According to Andrew Brandt, Tony Romo's career earnings over 14 seasons, $127 million.
He got paid like the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
Undrafted free agent, obviously. His signing bonus was 10 grand. Made $127 million just from the Cowboys.
God bless America.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the other big story this morning. And again, opening day was yesterday. It's not baseball. National championship. And you guys heard, if you tuned into the end of Sakata and Angle, you heard my thoughts on that. We'll dive further into the national championship game next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Back on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Corey, before we get to the national championship game, you got a text message you wanted to bring up to us.
Well, yeah, North Carolina Tar Heels won a national championship last night. So, you know, me and my daughter's mother, we became friendly back in 2005 when North Carolina Tar Heels won the national championship.
Right.
I texted her this morning and was like, North Carolina Tar Heels won the national championship last night.
Oh, Jesus.
She texted me ill. Hey, you know what I'm saying? The bees like that sometime, Greg.
Top of the morning.
Every time the Tar Heels win a championship, you know, there's been three times since, you know, we've known each other. I always text her like, the last two times they won, well, I was still there in 09 when they won. You know, it was like, oh, okay. This morning it was like, oh. Hey, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Celebrate for the Tar Heels, which I did not last night.
Do you think that the officiating was
it was
terrible?
Heavily slanted to the
It wasn't heavily slanted in either way. It was horrible for both teams. Absolutely a choke job of these officials who in the second half made the game about themselves. They're like, all right, they obviously went in the locker room. It's like, we need to call this tighter. And every time it went like that, they blew a whistle. And it was made for a very awful basketball game with no pace. Legitimately, with 9 minutes left, both teams were in the double bonus.
But this is what Gonzaga is a grinded out type team like that.
I understand.
That's Gonzaga's game. So they wanted to play their style of basketball last night. They did that. And just the bottom line is North Carolina was just the better team.
Yeah.
So the officiating was left a lot to be desired, but I still think North Carolina would wins this game.
I was watching I didn't watch the whole game. I watched the last 5 minutes of it or so. But I thought when Gonzaga took that lead, I thought they might have had it, and North Carolina just after that just buckled down and pretty much shut them down.
Yeah.
That was a nice play, that one-handed kiss off the glass by Hicks was.
Yeah, that was sweet. Yeah,
that was sweet.
I thought that the game itself left a lot to be desired because the refs, for me, there was not enough rhythm. I thought Karnowski missed a lot for Gonzaga. Everything was kind of just off in this game. UNC does go on to win the national championship. I mean, they were down a point with, you know, a minute and a half left. Go on a 9-2 run to win the ball game. And I never understood why. I said it on Sakata and Engel that neither team pushed the ball inside. You have major foul issues. Major, major foul issues on both sides. And neither team decided to push the ball at all inside to try to pick up more fouls. It didn't make sense to me.
You got to take it to the hole.
You got to take it to the hole.
I agree, set up
a jump shot, set up for three-pointers, and it's a Steph Curry effect on basketball in general. And Karnowski missed layup after layup after layup after layup. It's still not good enough. Gonzaga had a chance to win this game.
You know, Gonzaga, they definitely did. Gonzaga, they had an excellent tournament, excellent season, you know, but it's that still not... When you go through that ACC grind, you know how to play in these type of games. I think that conference play and being in a tough conference like the ACC makes these teams better down the stretch.
Yeah, the ACC is like the SEC of football.
Yeah.
You know, college football. So it's, you know, I mean, the Tar Heels, you know, it's basketball royalty. I was rooting for Gonzaga just for, you know, just to see the whole storyline come to fruition and, you know, the underdog guy. Even though they were number one seed, but the team that, you know. But, you know, that last minute and a half or so, North Carolina just put it on lockdown and took over.
Yeah, the moment is not too big for them. You feel what I'm saying? And then, of course, obviously, you have redemption from last year. But when you look at the grand scheme of things, like this team, good North Carolina team, I didn't think it was a Final Four team. I didn't think it was a national championship team. That's why I give Roy a ton of credit, even though you don't, Greg. When I look back at the great North Carolina teams, it's teams that didn't win in North Carolina that are better than this team. And this team is nowhere near as good as the 05 team.
There's no question about that. There have been a lot of UNC teams better. And I'll take it a step further. Like, last year's team was better. They simply are. And Roy Williams gets, and rightfully so in my opinion, a ton of flack for not being able to win those teams and getting upset with those teams. And he deserves it. This year, the team wasn't as good, and he came back, and Roy obviously did a nice job this season. I was not impressed with him during the tournament. I felt like last night, where things went up and down, I mean, he had three timeouts left up until 30 seconds left in the game, right? Like, he didn't use his timeouts. He didn't really coach, and as I just said, neither team pushed the ball inside, which killed me because it made no sense. So I wasn't necessarily impressed with that. But Tony was right. Like, among all the scandal, from what I have read, and I understand that, like, this academic scandal, which still the other shoe has not dropped on, has hurt UNC's recruiting in recent years. Like, they're not getting the recruits Kentucky and Duke are, and Roy's done the job and gotten them back.
So Roy's still getting it done, and he has. I mean, the pipeline though is still good for Roy.
Sure.
Even if you're not getting the big national recruits, you can go right into Charlotte and do a good job and putting together a college basketball team. So it's plenty of blue bloods that still want to play North Carolina basketball. Now, the kids coming out of Oak Hill, they may say, okay, well, wait a minute, I'd rather go play for John Calipari. But, you know, North Carolina is not is not in a position where – and these kids tend to stay at North Carolina, too.
Mm-hmm.
They don't – North Carolina doesn't have a whole bunch of one-and-dones.
They actually don't. No, some, of course.
Yeah.
But the majority of these guys stay, like the Kennedy Meekses of the world.
They stay at North Carolina.
But then again, interesting to note, Roy Williams has not had a single NBA All-Star at North Carolina, not one.
That is interesting. I mean, worst case with North Carolina, if they did drop the hammer on the program,
sure,
Roy Williams could always ride into the sunset, sure, a la Pete Carroll.
Right, and, I got my three titles. Bad, I got my three titles.
I'm out of here.
Corey.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, you don't believe me.
Harrison Barnes never made an All-Star game?
No, we got paid. We didn't make an All-Star game.
Yeah, I saw something like what Greg is saying. I saw some.
Not a single NBA All-Star. Isn't that absurd?
Ty Lawson? Raymond Felton?
Look at the guy.
The Knicks were infatuated with Raymond Felton for some reason.
Raymond Felton was a good player when he had his weight under control.
Ray Felton wasn't terrible this year. He didn't have a bad year.
No, but Ray, none of those guys. Rashawn McCants, nothing. No. Marvin Williams was a bum.
And he's had an okay year.
Decent,
too.
Yeah.
He's not bad. Tyler Hansbrough.
Well, you know Tyler Hansbrough wasn't him. He was a
lottery pick.
But Tyler Hansbrough was more of a glue guy, not a, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, he was really good in college. He was player of the year.
Huh?
He was player of the year in college.
Well, in defense to the NBA, if it was like the NFL Pro Bowl, then they probably would have had some all-stars.
Well, yeah. But there's just more players, obviously, in the NFL. I'm just saying, I think it's very interesting. Now, is that like... So the age-old question is that Roy Williams, like, even though he's winning national championships, is he not getting his players properly prepared for the NBA? Like, is that his job? I think that's the age-old question that I don't know the answer to. And then you have the other age-old question where Roy Williams received $250,000 for winning last night's game, while the kids received T-shirts and hats.
Yeah, that's a tough, sticky situation. But the kids are also receiving a great free education. I'm not trying to take a side. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here. Sure. You know, going to North Carolina, you stay there for 4 years, that's over $100,000. I mean, you got to understand that aspect too. You know, and these kids are, you know, whatever other perks are coming their way. So, you know, you are going to the, maybe if you're not an all-star, you are, most of them will have an NBA career.
You're set up. So. You're set up pretty well when you play North Carolina basketball.
It's kind of like if you go to like the elite Ivy League school or you're a member of like Skull and Bones, you're going to have a nice financial career ahead of yourself.
You can go into any business in North Carolina and be like, oh, all right, you're like the CEO.
I understand. Anyway, national championship is in the books. UNC, the Tar Heels, national champs. Gonzaga, your national runners-up. Also, I tweeted this last night, and I spelled it when I had a typo because I was typing it fast. Jim Nance's call was awful last night, gentlemen. I don't know if you guys heard it. I mean, it was terrible.
Yeah, Jim Nance should stick to golf, I think, in my opinion.
I mean, but he's the number one announcer on CBS for the Super Bowl, for college basketball, and, of course, for the Masters, which is this weekend. But you and he's had some good calls, right? Like last year for Villanova on the buzzer beater, awesome call. No issue with that. And you know me, Corey, I like to analyze these things.
Yeah.
You know what his call was last night?
What was it?
I want to get it exactly right.
Now, mind you, there was no
drama.
Yeah. Drama.
I think might have been the problem was he had too much time to prepare the call.
So
the
counter argument to that is he always prepares his call. Like he comes into the game knowing whatever team's going to win, he has a call ready.
I agree, but like the previous season was like, you know, that buzzer, you know.
That was amazing.
That was amazing, and it had to be like, you know, spur of the moment type thing, so maybe that helped him.
Nance's call was, and the confetti will fall for North Carolina.
That leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah.
That's like some cheesy New Year's party.
Yeah, that leaves a lot to be desired. It should have been something about Tobacco Road or something like that. You know what I'm saying? So
it was just awful.
Yes.
Redemption from last year.
Yeah, redemption. Redemption. Yeah, redemption should have been.
Redemption Road. Fulfilled. Something like that.
Damn, I should have made that call.
Yeah, you should have done that, Matt. You wouldn't have been here this morning, though.
No, I would not.
Yeah. Right quick, I had to change something. The Jenmar Gomez haters, stop! Don't at me, okay? Don't at me, Jenmar Gomez haters. Stop atting me.
When we come back, we'll talk about our man, Jenmar Gomez, who, for the record, a lot of closers had bad days the last 2 days. One guy did not blow the save.
He was better than Mark Melanson.
And he's better than Sam Dyson, and he's better than a lot of other guys. And Jenmar Gomez is still a closer, and we'll talk about that on the other side of the break here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Corey, you and I, this morning, we walk in here, we're in nice good moods, we want to talk about Romo.
Tony Romo.
North Carolina. You know, walk in here for Corey Parsons, nice day. And then you get bombarded, so rudely, about Jenmar Gomez. So rudely.
I got people atting me, but don't at me this Jenmar Gomez stuff. Mm-mm. Don't at me when Mm-mm. the dude got the save.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I understand there was a home run involved.
Sure.
That's not Jenmar's thing. He's not going to give up a whole bunch of home runs. And listen, it's one game. You feel what I'm saying?
A lot of closers blew saves.
Nobody added me when Mark Melanson blew that save. I didn't get ats then.
Yeah.
Feel what I'm saying?
Sam Dyson, you get any ats?
I didn't get any ats about that. But I got ats about Jenmar Gomez, who got the save.
Well, the difference here is the way Jenmar ended last season, the threat that he has in his own bullpen. I mean, it's really two pitchers, but Hector Neris is seemingly the guy that everybody wants, the much more talented. And I think he's got some rope, though. I think he's got some rope. I don't think the Phillies want to start Neris' clock. So if Gomez can go out there in his next game or two and just lock it down or not give up any runs, that'll bode well for him.
Just right the ship, Jenmar. Just right the ship. Calm down. Just right the ship. Don't listen to everybody. Clear the noise out of your head. Just get back into your rhythm. Get back into your groove of getting guys out and getting saves. That's it.
Listen, Pete Mackanin, as Scott mentioned repeatedly to us, he was concerned for his closer. But the fact is, number one, the Clippers got the job done, ultimately. Mm-hmm. Phillies won this game 4-3. Okay, nicely, you know, solidly pitched game by Jeremy Hellickson. It was fine. Scott Feldman wasn't awful for Cincinnati. He was bad, but, like, could have been worse. He wasn't like he was Yuli Shussing yesterday.
yeah, that line was pretty ugly.
Yeah, it was bad. I watched that game, too. It wasn't like he got demolished here. Well, the ball game. And Pete Mackinnon said the obvious. He's got to keep the ball down. You know, I have other options if he falters. I have other options, which is true. But as long as Jed Marr keeps getting the job done, Corey Witch.
He got it saved.
He did yesterday.
Get the save.
He's going to be the closer. Listen,
this is hysteria, right? This is hysteria. I put Jenmar Gomez's name in Twitter, right, to see some comments. Jenmar Gomez will not be the Phillies closer for long. Wave Jenmar Gomez. Fire Jenmar Gomez. Jenmar Gomez, why are you so effing terrible? Jenmar Gomez pitching the ninth for the Phillies. Their fifth pitcher. Okay, what else? All right. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, but still, like, it, you know what I'm saying? All the stuff that's coming out on Jenmar Gomez is negative, and this is a guy, the team won, and he got the damn save.
And it's amazing that we're sitting here talking about Jenmar Gomez, who, again, didn't blow the save when, Matt, there's a lot of closers yesterday that did.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's a lot going on in the closer market. A lot to be, I mean, you have to really be on top of this right now because this is where it could pay off if you wind up nailing the right guy.
Like, let's go to Oakland, right? Late last night in a game that, you know, everyone forgot to watch because it was on midnight last night.
I was actually watching it, to be honest.
Besides Matt Modigo, which is why he's the best. you had Oakland and the Angels where Chris Davis hits two bombs. Kendall Graven pitches really, really well for six innings, two-run ball, struck out seven guys. Like, we'll talk about him in just a second. It's 4-2, right? And who comes into the eighth inning? Sean Doolittle, the lefty. Ryan Matson, the righty. And who starts the clean inning in the ninth? Santiago Casilla, just how we all assumed.
Well, I think the most interesting thing was that Ryan Matson was brought in to face Mike Trout and then couldn't start the ninth inning. That I really didn't seem to understand. So, I mean, I think the Oakland thing is going to be fluid. I mean, Casilla, maybe they got a hedge on right now, but I think any one of those three guys that you just mentioned, and even Ryan Dahl, I wouldn't shut out, because I think everybody's going to get a chance to close at some point. I think it's going to be more game flow that's going to dictate the situations, like you say, the lefty, the righties.
So, the problem is with a situation like Oakland, again, we'll get to Graveman and Chris Davis in just one second, is that when you have Casilla, every time, let's say he is the closer, right? Let's see, he saves another couple this week. The problem is, as soon as he blows one, everyone's going to be like, all right, is it Sean Doolittle? Is it Ryan Matson? Is it Ryan Dahl? Is it John Axford? I mean, there's so many guys there that could take the job. It's like almost even more of a headache getting involved in this merry-go-round of relievers in Oakland.
It's kind of like the New England Patriots running back situation, like a fantasy, when you got to try and pick that guy. Is it going to be James White? Is it going to, you know, who are you going to go with today? You going to ride the beast? You know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, the most interesting thing to come out of yesterday, which has infuriated me beyond belief, which I was worried about. I mean, I definitely had this in the back of my mind. I pretty much own Cam Bedrosian everywhere. Mm-hmm. Is Mike Socha mentioning to Cam Bedrosian, which he came out and said that it will be a closure by committee. But I'm going to pause here a second for everybody. First off, Andrew Bailey's terrible. I know he got some saves last year. He had like a 6 ERA. He's garbage. Houston Street showed that he was done last year. And Cam Bedrosian is the guy to own, the guy to hold on to, the guy that will get the saves this year in Anaheim. Even Mike Socha, who's living on past glory from over a decade ago as the game's passing him by, is going to come to the realization that, you know, this is the most talented arm. This is the superior option in the Angels bullpen.
Yeah, no, I hope that is the case. Like you said, Mike Socha, the game has passed him by. So he's got to make a call. He's got to make a decision. Like, Bedrosian is the guy. That's one of the first things, you know, when I started my baseball research, because this closer thing is such a pain in the butt. Because every week is somebody different, and this guy and that guy, and it dominates the shows, it dominates mm-hmm. Fab, and this is one damn category.
Corey's 100% correct, and that's why when you pay up for a Kenley Jansen's and a Aroldis Chapman type, you're getting your money's worth. It is a high price tag to pay in drafts and auctions, but it's a peace of mind that you don't have to deal with this nonsense on a weekly basis and when who to fab, who not to fab, is it worth blowing 30% of my budget, 40% of my budget? So, you know, there is a trade-off, and all, like I mentioned before, all saves are not equal. And as you mentioned with Genmar, I mean, he got the save. You look at Fernando Rodney the other day. He pitched an inning. He gave up a run. He got
Melanson. Oh. Like, this is Sam Dyson, I keep saying.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think O gave up three runs all of last year. You know, he was locked down. The one thing with Melanson, I really don't own shares of him this season. I think he has the possibility to save 50 games being in that ballpark, but he has a fine line where his margin of error has been narrowed. You know, he can be extremely awesome. I wouldn't panic on him right now, but the margin of error, that window is closing on him.
I tend to agree. All right, let's get into Oakland and Anaheim, which I did not see us starting with this morning. but that's where our constituents have left
us. This son of a gun, Mike Trout. How about this? This guy can play.
He good.
Really?
Yeah, this guy can play.
Yeah, he's not bad.
He is not bad at all. What is he? Was he $50 in an auction? Something like that?
Something like that. Him and Bryce Harper both opening day bombs yesterday.
Yeah, Bryce Harper seems to do that every year.
He does.
Yeah.
Every year but one.
Bryce Harper sets the tone.
Yes, he does.
Yes.
Yes, he does. For the Angels, they fell 4-2. It was Casilla getting the save. But Kendall Graven, 6 innings, 2-run ball with 7 strikeouts. What do we think of Kendall Graven? Is this a guy that if he's out there on the waiver wires, we should be picking up, Matt?
I think he's a perfect stream option at home. There are people that do like him that do think he can outpitch his peripherals and all that stuff. He's better than that. I think he's a home guy. You start him in Oakland, a matchup guy. Does he have the possibility to be better than that? Yes, but I'm not going all in just yet.
I look at Graven, I just mentioned to you off the air, do I drop Andrew Triggs or do I drop Brent Anderson for Santiago Casilla? And I think Graven's kind of in that category. You know, he's just like, a guy that might be good, that I don't mind having on the end of my team or end of my fantasy rotation.
it's a staff!
I don't mind that. He's fine. I'd rather stream him at home in the right matchups than roll him out there every single day and every single week. I think I'm more confident in that right now.
Yeah, no.
Good start for him, though.
I totally agree with your assessment. And, you know, I mean, Oakland is a place where you're not going to get many wins. And as good as he is at keeping the ball on the ground, that defense is going to be pretty horrific. I mean, last night he struck out 7 batters. Can he do that on a consistent basis? I'm not sure about that.
That's obviously the question that has to be answered. Chris Davis, Corey, he had 2 solo shots, which is going to be consistent for him because he has a lot of power. The guys in the lineup in Oakland in front of him suck. So
yeah, Chris Davis, like you said, he came through last night, got those home runs. Also, Stephen Vogt hit a home last night. But this is kind of what the A's offense is. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Listen, if somebody hit a home run, they score. If somebody don't, they may not score.
Well, Chris Davis.
Over, I hate to say it like so simply like that, but it is what it is.
Chris Davis, over his last 162 games, has 48 home runs.
God, that's so damn
good. He's got power.
Good.
He's got real power.
He does. Leads the league. You know, he is the home run hitter that you want. I mean, he can't play defense. He's a statue out there. But who cares?
That's okay. Fantasy, he hit really far.
You know, in fantasy, we don't care because he can DH, worst case scenario, with Oakland. Or, you know, Oakland's got to play him. You know.
For the Angels.
So this guy, Ryan Healy, struck out twice last night. People love
Ryan Healy. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's one game.
Well, yeah, I get it. You know what I'm saying? But I like come out firing.
I was talking about that at the top of the hour. So you know how yesterday I came on here and I wanted to kill you guys when I told Moss, you know, over 4-3 strikeouts? So my last round pick in the GST League over the weekend, my last round pick was my second catcher. You know who that was?
Who?
Was it Jason Castro?
No. It was Martin Maldonado.
Martin Maldonado?
Because I have 3 Angels pitchers. So literally my 30th round pick, my second catcher. Nando had already left at this point.
I'm out.
He's my partner. He had already left.
I'm Greg, I'm going.
So I'm like, all right, I'm picking Martin Maldonado. Like, whatever, he's a starting catcher, 30th round. Maybe he'll be good. Last night, he got up to the plate 3 times, Corey. You know what happened all 3 of those times?
Probably struck out all 3 times.
He did, and then he got pinch hit 4. Wasn't a great start from Martin Maldonado.
Yeah, I think that Angels catcher situation is fluid, and he got the opening day start. Can he keep that? Can he keep it? I'm not sure. So
it remains to be seen.
Martin Maldonado. You know, Greg, you said something earlier that pissed me off.
All right. Right, I was just like a coach.
Your ability to pick up
Santiago Castillo
without like a proper
process
that really stirs my grits.
Yeah, there should at least be a waiver wire process.
It's got to be something, Greg. You can't just go willy nilly pick the dude up.
We voted on it and got turned down.
Your league mates deserved it. Then they deserved it.
We voted on it. We voted on continuous waivers day after day. Got turned down.
Your league mates deserve what they get. Then, if I was you, I would hammer them for that.
I'm not hammering them. I'm just trying to win here.
No, I feel what you're saying. But if I was in the league, I would vote against that, or I wouldn't play in the league.
Well, you have that.
It's not
option.
Fair.
You do have that option.
Yeah, but like you said, this is your league. I just think that's not right, in my opinion. That's just me throwing it out there.
It's fine. Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe ultimately it'll be bad for me. Santiago Garcia could suck.
That could happen too.
Yeah, like you say, all saves aren't created equally. You got Fernando Rodney types. You seen Genmar yesterday. So, you know, there's a fine line to walk.
When we come back, we'll talk about another close of the Blue save in Sam. Not Blue a save, but Blue a game yesterday in Sam Dyson. We left a lot of runs. And including some of these injuries to some pitchers yesterday. None of them seem significant, but we want to mention them, and we'll actually start in that Texas-Cleveland game, which I watched a lot of. I was flipping back and forth between Raw, the baseball game, the national championship game. Really fun night of sports last night. So we'll talk about Texas and Cleveland on the other side of the break. This is the Roto Experts of the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Cleveland and Arlington. That's where Texas plays. Fun game last night. Really fun game last night.
Not the game we expected.
No, you thought you had a fun pitching duel between Yu Darvish and Corey Kluber. Corey Kluber was one of the last starters to leave with an injury. Not leave with an injury, he had a blister on his hand. And he set up to make his next start. One of many pitchers to get injured yesterday, or quote unquote injured, as Felix Hernandez left with a groin injury. He should be fine for his next start. And then we know Noah Syndergaard left with a blister of his own. He's going to push his start back to Sunday from Saturday. So no significant injuries for starting pitchers, but something to monitor if you do own these guys.
Yeah, the blisters can be nagging and lingering, so we definitely need to keep an eye out on that.
So Texas fell to Cleveland last night after Sam Dyson gets blown up. Why are we talking about his job this morning? How about that? Like, with Jeremy Jeffers is there, and Matt Bush, even though like he kind of sucked last night, Matt Bush is there too. Jeremy Jeffers is there. Why are we not screaming about Sam Dyson this morning, Corey?
Because nobody cares about that. You feel what I'm saying? They'd rather just pick on my guy Genmar Gomez. But Sam Dyson, issues too.
That's correct. I mean, if Sam Dyson continues on this path, then there will be major concern in Texas, and a guy like Matt Bush could usurp him.
And Jeremy Jeffers, don't forget about him.
Yeah, Jeremy Jeffers too, but the thing is, I think the Rangers really want Dyson to be the closer, and they want Matt Bush to be that guy, to be the bridge, and you know, so that's the mindset now. But for teams that are in the position that are expected to win, things change rapidly. So, you know, Cham Dyson early on I thought was a guy that would lose his job. Then I kind of came around to changing my point of view on that.
I got it.
But last night did not do anything to confirm that or consolidate it.
What's up?
I got it.
Okay, cool. So hopefully we'll talk to him. So I watched this game. And like I said, flipping back and forth, doing a lot of good stuff last night. I thought Yu Darvish in general never really seemed comfortable to me. Like, he walked five guys, very uncharacteristic of him. He never seemed comfortable out there. Even when he had a 5-1 lead, he just didn't seem comfortable. And the final line for him, 6 1/3, 4 hits, 4 runs, 5 walks, strikes out 4, lets up a home run to my guy, Jose Ramirez.
I was my boy.
Yeah, Jose Ramirez hit a long home run. I meant to ring the bell for you when we were talking about the Phillies, because Howie Kendrick had a good day.
How about that? Look at that.
Ring the bell for that, Howie Kendrick.
Let me check the standings. I'm doing so much right now.
You're too popular.
And I still got these Genmar trolls at me.
So he never really seemed comfortable because the Cleveland Indians kept getting him. Edwin Encarnacion, he was 2 for 5 yesterday. Encarnacion had a long home run.
Matt Bush didn't fool him on that one.
No, as did Jose Ramirez. Carlos Santana had a nice game going 2 for 4 at the top of the lineup. It was good to see Michael Brantley back in his customary 3-hole, ready to rock. So the Indians hitting got to him. Now, on the other side, Corey Kluber, he settled down, I thought, after letting up those 5 runs really, really quickly, getting in, you know, pitching 6 innings, allowed 5 runs, but he looked better as the game wore on. 6 strikeouts. My guy Carlos Gomez had a homer. Also stole the base. That didn't count, so that was ridiculous.
Oh, that sucks.
He got caught stealing, but he was safe, and they didn't overturn it. I was very angry.
Also newsworthy, Delino DeShields did not start.
I was absolutely going to get to that. Delino DeShields did not start in left field. Jurickson and Profar did. Batted 9th and got nowhere. 2 strikeouts, went 0-for-4. Rougned Odor homered twice. One was a 3-run shot, so a really good day, really good opening day here for Odor. And Nomar Mazara had a nice day, going 2-for-4 here. Matt.
Yeah, I mean, both these teams should be at the top of the class in the American League. It should be another fun game today. Or tonight, because there's only one day game on the schedule.
Yeah.
That's Verlander versus Quintana. I don't get that. You know,
Major League Baseball.
You know, the first few days.
I wonder why major people don't watch baseball on TV. Because on the second day of the season, you don't have no games on in the daytime. Yeah. Come on. What the hell are they doing with that?
There
should be day games again today.
All week
it should be day games.
I agree.
And then tonight,
people sit here, they're excited about baseball. They want to watch. They check. Yesterday I sat here. This exact seat. We had games on in the restaurant. And once they finally turned them on, and I'm sitting here refreshing my team, excited about my bats. I went
you even played DFS.
I played DFS.
Yes,
I played DFS, which we can talk about next hour.
Yeah.
And I ran home. You know what I did? I just said this to you. I watched the freaking Dodger game.
Yeah.
Because I had Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, I mean, I was so excited after Old School Fantasy yesterday, and it was so beautiful outside.
You had the GST yesterday?
What?
You had the GST yesterday, right?
Yes, I was so excited. It was so beautiful out that I walked from the studio to the GST.
That's far walk.
Yeah, I heard you.
That's far walk.
My shins were killing me on the way, walking into work.
Were you getting a nice cold beverage when you got there, at least?
Yes, I had a cold beverage, and I woofed down the brunch burger, my favorite burger in New York City.
Shout out to the Greenwich Street Tavern.
What up? Yes. What up? Joey Gallo started at third base with no Adrian Beltre, which was interesting as well. There's a lot of different things they could do.
He stole a base.
And Jesus, he's just going to... Yes, he stole a base. That is correct. Stole a base. Other than that, went 0-for-3, did walk that one time. And Gallo, is he going to play every day here without Beltre?
I think he will be... I think they want to give him a shot just to see what they have. I mean, they could put Jurickson Profar in there. They're saying today that either Ryan Arua or Delino DeShields will start in left field. I'm hoping it's DeShields. I did pay a quarter of my fab for him. He will remain on my team regardless, no matter what, for the rest of the season. I do think he'll get an opportunity at some point. And if he gets that opportunity, we're looking at possibly 30 stolen bases.
So there you go. Something you have to look out for. I'm very interested to see that lineup. Who's in there? Rua or Delino DeShields today. Both those guys, they love Ryan Rua. They do.
They are fans of Ryan Rua's game, so he will be a piece, one of these guys that off the bench will sub for people. And I think today, in tonight's game, I mean, Martin Perez is going for Texas. Who cares? But the starter to watch is Carlos Carrasco. He had that scare in spring training. His first return was 3 shutout innings. Then he got lit up his last time around, but he did pitch 4 innings, which was what he needed to do. So he's a guy that I will be intently watching.
You know, it's kind of annoying about this beginning of the season, especially when you have a daily change league. I wanted to drop hitters. I don't like having extra hitters on the bench. It's stupid. But I have all these hitters on my bench, and I can't drop them yet because I don't know if they're going to be good or bad. It's annoying.
It is annoying, but, you know, it's annoying.
I can do. All right, take a break. Come back. Talk more MLB all this hour here on the Wedge for the Morning.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts in the Morning, live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey, the Fantasy Executive, Parson.
Yo.
Matty Modica, CTM Baseball.
Hey, hey.
What up, gentlemen?
Tony Romo's retired, right? Maybe. And I know we're going to get into a lot of baseball talk, you know, in the next couple of moments. Yesterday was opening day, and I had a pretty decent DFS day. If I one of my lineups did very well, but it was real chalky, so whatever the case may be, we'll get into that. And I want to talk to you about your initial DFS experience also.
Deal it with later on the show.
Tony Romo retires, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's the number two trend on Twitter.
Sure.
Tony Romo is the biggest athlete in the Twitter era.
No.
Nobody trends on social media like Tony Romo.
Not true.
Yes, it is.
False. He's polarizing, I'll say.
Yes, he is. No. Stop. No. Do you remember any Romo throws an interception? I never forget this. It was a Sunday game. Romo throws the interception Sunday night to lose the game. Wednesday, he was still the number two trend on Twitter.
I'll give you one that's
predictable. He trends. People like to talk about Tony Romo. Most of it is hate. You know what I'm saying? Now the Hall of Fame, the Romo Hall of Fame conversation is starting, and people are like flat out, hell no, you got to be kidding me. See, the NFL is so championship heavy. You feel what I'm saying? Like, you have to be this great champion. So these jackasses that say, no chance in hell Tony Romo belongs in the Hall of Fame, but Eli Manning belongs in the Hall of Fame because he lucked in the two Super Bowls. It's not right.
Romo is
a Hall of Famer. A borderline Hall of Famer. Now, Steve McNair not in the Hall of Fame either. But you got Steve Young in the damn Hall of Fame. Kurt Warner, grocery bagging asses in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, Kurt Warner
Come on now, win
a Super Bowl. He didn't win one. Not
Wait
one.
Wait a minute. Whoa. So in order to in order to be an NFL Hall of Fame, you have to win a Super Bowl?
You should.
Come on.
I don't agree with that.
That's cheap. I don't agree with that.
Dan Marino's a special case.
Hey, look. I mean, Eli... You know, that first Super Bowl, I mean...
Wait. I never said a word about Eli. All I want to do is respond to you. I want to get back into baseball. Why don't I respond to your Romo comment? Alex Rodriguez is a bigger Twitter athlete than Tony Romo is.
He doesn't trend away.
Yes, he does. A-Rod, are you kidding me?
But I agree with Tony Romo.
The man ain't playing 4 years, dog. What are you talking
about?
You're
on last year, dude.
But you know what I mean. You feel what I'm saying? 2 years ago, he had...
A great year.
No, yeah, you know what? He does. A-Rod does trend. I get that. But not like...
Yes,
Romo trends for days.
So does A-Rod.
The game is played on Sunday. Romo's still trending on Wednesday.
So does A-Rod, dude.
My name Ron. Oh, okay, here we go.
Anyway, so what I want to say about baseball is, you know, I overreact, guys.
Has anyone been cut from your team yet?
Yeah,
okay. I should have said anybody of major
significance. No. But you know how I say, like, it's so frustrating watching your players go over four on the first night with your three strikeouts and whatnot. You know what the other side of that feeling is? How amazing you feel when your team hits, like, 500 on day one and has, like, a bunch of home runs, and now I think I'm going to win everything.
Yeah. My guys hit 317 yesterday.
Like, yesterday my OBP was 481. I had three homers, a bunch of RBIs, a stolen base. I'm like, wow, I am a god among men. This is like, literally the feeling that I get.
I can agree. I can attest to that. The mood swing that occurred with me as I was watching John Gray, four shutout innings, seven strikeouts.
Yeah.
Garrett Cole, 4 2/3, one hit allowed. Then he allowed six straight hits and five runs right after that.
So I watched this all downstairs yesterday.
John Gray just John Gray just imploded. You feel what I'm saying?
So did Garrett Cole, dude.
What the hell happened to John Gray? It's like his head was on fire. You feel what I'm saying? You know, that's... So much of sports is mental. It's like pitching. It's like the game of life. Sometimes you let runners on base, and it comes back to bite you in the ass. You just, in life, you can't let runners on base. Because when runners get on base, bad things start to happen. John Gray let runners on base. When runners get on base, it's like it started unwinding. You feel is that correct, Matthew?
Yes, we did have the Garrett Cole game on. I did not see the John Gray performance. I was watching. I was monitoring
disastrous
heavily on the app. And like I said, I was ecstatic after four innings. And the problem too is, you know, it's that third time through the order.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get over that. You have to be able to shut down the team. That third time through the order is the toughest time for a starting pitcher. And that's what makes the really good ones, separates the field.
So Colorado and John Gray, you know, through his first three innings, really, I mean, he was dominant, right? Seven strikeouts. He was mowing them down.
I was like, look at this right here. This is a great guy.
Really, through four innings, I should say. He was mowing them down. And then he could not get an out in that fifth inning. And now everyone's talking, of course, amazingly, now everyone's talking about, oh, man, the Brewers are going to be so much better than we thought after just beating up on John Gray and for one inning. It's very, very funny. I thought that Eric Thames yesterday only went 1-for-4, but hit the ball really hard a whole bunch of times. A lot of people are really high now or back in on Eric Thames. I thought Travis Shaw impressed me yesterday, and it was a good matchup as a lefty against John Gray. 2-for-4 for him. Keon Broxton stole a base, so that was cool. Johnny VR got on base a bunch too. Ryan Braun got caught stealing. So the Brewers, a lot of people were interested in them. Speaking of starting pitchers getting hurt, Junior Guerra gets hurt. This isn't one of those no big deal varieties. He's going on the DL, Matt.
Yeah, and it looks like one Tommy Malone will be
Tommy Malone,
who is of no fantasy interest to you. I think it's just a matter of time before we see Josh Hader, maybe within the next month, just for service time or so. Josh Hader, he's definitely an arm of interest for fantasy owners.
His last name is Hader, though. He's a hater. I think it's funny.
Other significance in this game was Adam Ottavino pitching the eighth inning and Greg Holland coming in the ninth.
Correct. So now that was clear, Holland is the closer immediately in Colorado. I think we kind of saw the writing on the wall there.
This closer thing is so crazy to me.
But I don't know how early on in the season they're going to let Holland pitch back-to-back days. So Ottavino might still get some saves early on. But it looks clearly to be Holland's job. It's just how will they manage him coming back.
Why do we spend so much time talking about one player
for one category?
For one category, yeah. That pitches one damn inning.
I'll tell you the reason why is because half of the field is, you know, the turnover rate is a constant thing every year. You know, it's almost 50% or it's at least 30% that these closers are going to lose jobs. You want to try and get them on, you know, you want to try to be the guy, whether it's Greg in his league that's first to the waiver wire, or you want to be able to, like in a NFBC league or a fab league, or any kind of fab league, you want to be speculating on that guy a week or two before.
Yeah.
So it doesn't cost you much.
No doubt.
Otherwise, it's going to cost you like 30, 40% of your fab.
That's ridiculous.
And that's a tough decision to make.
The kickers. Yeah, for the Rockies yesterday in this one, hitting-wise, a nice game by Mark Reynolds, who hit a bomb in the second inning. A lot of
Benny was on him.
Tony was on him also. Yeah. A lot of people DFS were on Mark Reynolds yesterday. Evidently, it was an obvious one, but I didn't know that. That was good for him. He had a nice day, 2-for-3, a home run, a bunch of RBIs, a couple runs scored. Nolan Arenado, 2-for-3, 2 runs scored. He also walked a couple times. He just got on base a couple times, I should say. He didn't walk at all. The Tony Walters was also 2-for-4, second catcher, that was cool, and Gerardo Parra had a 2-for-4 day, while Charlie Blackman stole a base. Good to see him running early.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. He's on my team.
Picked off second base. Missed the bell there.
I know.
It's okay. It's okay.
They think I'm replacing me after one game. Well, doesn't have a closing mentality. Well, do you think that could be the problem with Genmo?
I don't think it's that. I just think it's Genmar's.
Trying to piss me off this morning.
His quality of
pitches.
He's not too good. Let's put it that way.
We obviously mentioned Garrett Cole as well, along with John Gray, with one bad inning. And that's kind of what happened with Garrett Cole, where it all unraveled again. He went, again, just like John Gray, four scoreless innings. He's mowing Boston down. Things are good. And then Garrett Cole just gets lit up in the fifth inning. And he realized a lot of this was just kind of like infield single and fluky stuff. Andrew Benintendi's not fluky.
Yeah, no, I was watching that game on the other TV, and Jackie Bradley Jr. with two outs did rope one down, almost hit a home run. And that was the first hit, But then, like you say, Pander got the infield single, I believe. Then it was Sandy Leon dropping the bunt.
Yep.
So it was little like cuts, little razor cuts, and then Andrew Benintendi. Hey, look, if anybody was going to hit the homer off of Garrett Cole, who I have in a lot of places, I'm glad it was Andrew Benintendi. So because I have him as well. So nice. That was the only silver lining. You always look for a silver lining in fantasy. So that was the only saving grace.
Benintendi, he's good.
Yeah, so he batted second yesterday, as we said. He hits the home run. Now, Xander Bogaerts batted sixth. I'm like, oh, no, Xander Bogaerts. Now, he went 2-for-4 yesterday, even bigger. 2 stolen bases yesterday.
Nice.
For Xander Bogaerts, which I think is very, very interesting in that in the sixth spot, now he's not in front of Mookie Betts. He's not in front of Hanley Ramirez. He's in front of Jackie Bradley and Pablo Sandoval. Could be an opportunity for him to run a little bit more. 2 stolen bases, as I said yesterday, for Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that he is batting sixth. I know they want to try and break up the left-handed hitters and all that. He just seems to be coming off the year that he had last year. I know people aren't thrilled about his batted ball profile with the hard hit data, but you know he had a very good year last year, so it's a little surprising to see him at sixth.
The Mitch Moreland did not have a hit yesterday, but Girardi had one, a big one. Mookie Betts, 1-for-3. Over Rick Porcello, by the way, quality start, 6 innings, 3
another
runs.
Win.
6 hits, 5 yeah, strikes.
These guys get
they
wins.
Score runs. They always score like 6 runs when Rick Porcello starts.
Sure do. Craig Kimbrell, allowed a hit, worked around it, 2 strikeouts. He gets his first save of the year, 22 pitches. For the Pirates, Gregory Polanco got caught stealing in the first.
I was unhappy about that.
As was I. Continued to run, though. Not really much note from the Pirates hitters at all. Yeah. Andrew McCutchen, your boy, struck out 3 times.
Listen, this is his first day. Let him get warmed up. He's a warm weather guy.
Sure, well, I'm a warm weather guy, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, whatever. He's Boston. First game of the season. Give him an opportunity, Greg. He's going to come into his own.
I do want to note, because I think it's interesting. So Garrett Cole pitches 5 innings, 5 runs, and let up. Terrible. So now they're losing 5-0 at the time. 6th inning was your guy, Juan Nicasio. In a 5-0 game that they're losing, Juan Nicasio came in. Scoreless inning, fine. Just interesting where he was placed. In a 5-3 game, in the 8th, a game they're losing, Danny Hudson comes in. Loves it. Strikes at the side. A lot of hit, a lot of walk. 5-3 game, they're losing, and came Daniel Hudson.
Well, he's going to be the guy with the first opportunity. I mean,
you tell me,
I've always stated that.
What we're getting at, just to make it clear, Tony Watson, clearly in my estimation, not in danger right now of losing his job. Because Nicasio, a 5-0 game, they're down, he pitched in. Yeah. Now Hudson trying to keep it close, 5-3, I understand that. This is Tony Watson's job, very clearly, to lose.
Oh, no, it's definitely Tony Watson's job. There is no issue on that. Can Tony Watson keep the job? Because, I mean, the Pirates do want Tony Watson to be their closer. If for anything, just for trade value, if they start falling out of it, they want to flip Tony Watson. He's going to be a free agent. So Tony Watson is somebody they want to be able to, in trade, say, this is a closer that we're trading you.
And okay,
get the utmost value for him. I just, from his skill set from last year, it deteriorated greatly. He was not effective as a closer last year. Neither. Daniel Hudson will get the first opportunity if something does change. I just think Nicasio is the best arm in that bullpen.
Tony Watson. What does he look like? Okay.
Some white dude.
Anthony Tony Michael Watson. That's his full name. He's from Sioux City, Iowa. His salary is $3.45 million.
Yes, it is.
He makes a lot of money to pitch one inning. A
lot of money to pitch one inning. We mentioned Mike Trout yesterday. Of course, hit the home run. He's and then good. Bryce Harper continues his opening day tradition as well. We'll talk about the Nationals and Miami when we return here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Back here.
Itching. I have an itch. I don't know why that is.
I noticed that.
I put some lotion on.
Put the lotion on the skin.
Yeah, I did it. I was extra melanated when I first left the house this morning. I was extra melanated when I first left the house this morning.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know why. I think maybe it was a different lotion. I was like, oh, my goodness. But now it's like wearing off.
I'm sorry.
And then don't worry about it. I felt good for the first hour of the day.
The Nationals defeated Miami yesterday afternoon, 4-2.
How about that?
Miami actually got up to a 2-0 lead on Edison Volquez. His 5 innings of 4-hit ball, 6 strikeouts for Edison Volquez. Got pulled after 82 pitches. The bullpen immediately gets lit up. David Phelps blows it as Bryce, yes.
You know, just to make it a point here, Edison Volquez only threw 82 pitches after 5 innings.
Yep.
Like 5 strikeouts and 1 walk, and I didn't understand why he was taken out of that game.
Now, I didn't see this game because I was on the air, but did he get pulled because like for a pinch hitter? Is that what it was or no?
I believe not.
Oh, no,
I
it wasn't.
That was not the case. Yeah. I think he had 2 hits in the game, too.
He did. He went 2-for-2.
So
you're right. He wasn't pulled for a pinch hitter, so that's very interesting.
And then Phelps came in, who I really, I'm a fan of David
Phelps.
People love
David Phelps, yeah.
I would like to see him in the rotation at some point this year.
Probably
but
will.
Phelps came in and, you know, Adam Lind, that pinch hit home run was the difference maker.
The Adam Lind pinch hit home run was, in fact, the difference maker, but it was Bryce Harper's solo shot, got him on the board first. Bryce, I believe, every opening day except one in 2015, he's had at least one home run. That's 2014, 2016, and, of course, now 2017. For the Nationals, you had Steven Strasburg, 7 innings, 6 hits, 2 runs, 3 strikeouts. What do we take away from this outing, Corey?
His elbow is still attached to his arm.
So that's what you, that's what you take away
from it. Yes,
it's definitely good that you know. He pitched 7 innings. It was 85 pitches. I didn't see the whole game as I was focusing on the Met game, but his new this season he's going to pitch out of the stretch to alleviate the stress on the elbow. So maybe that's something that could work for him. We've seen Danny Duffy do it last year. He was able to repeat his delivery more, and he had a very good season. So hopefully Strasburg, for baseball fans in general, can stay healthy, and hopefully the new delivery.
You guys want me to walk over there and demonstrate the difference between, you know, regular pitching and pitching out of the stretch?
No.
Okay, I'm going to break that down for you.
Given Strasburg pitching out of the stretch by himself, you know, only out of the stretch, is that going to bring down his strikeout rate? I don't know if that makes sense or not, but he only had 3 strikeouts yesterday. For what you're paying for Steven Strasburg, that's not enough.
Yeah, mm-mm.
No, it's not enough, but what you're paying for also is all the other things that he can bring you. I think the strikeouts, you know, will be there for him this season. It's too early to tell after one outing.
Of course. I'm just asking.
I think he's going to be fine. I think the thing I would want most as a Strasburg owner, is for him to get as many starts as possible, to get as close to 30 starts as possible. If he does that, you're going to have a nice return on investment.
Absolutely. Pitching-wise, I thought it was really interesting, because the 8th inning, in front of the lefty, Sammy Solis, clean inning, not Sean Kelly, not Cody Glover, Sammy Solis, the lefty. And then Blake Treinen.
I think Dusty was just trying to set the drama.
I think so, too. They did bring in Blake Treinen, who pitched perfect inning, 2 strikeouts.
He struck out,
and a pop-up. I mean, he got Giancarlo, I believe it was, to pop up.
Yeah.
And he walks out with his first save of 2017.
Go ahead, Blake. Stick it to these dudes.
For the Nationals lineup, it got off to a very quick start here, right? With Trey Turner, Adam Eaton almost immediately on base. Double steal.
Look at that. We love that.
Adam Eaton was flying around the bases at one point.
That was cool for both of them. Dan Murphy went 2-for-4. My guy Ryan Zimmer went 2-for-4. Jason Wirth, 0-for-4, 3 strikeouts. Not great.
He sucks now.
Yeah, Jason Wirth is in the twilight. You know, the sun is setting on his career.
Tell you what, though.
Looks like Edge.
Definitely looks like Edge. And he played out that contract. You don't see that, like, 7 years, $126 million. And he played every year of that contract. He went through some injuries, but, like, it was never, Jason Worth's an albatross. Jason Worth, we got a trader. Jason Worth sucks. Like, he's played it out.
I'm not trying to hate on Jason Worth. He brought them some credibility.
There you go, right there.
He did, the first guy.
He brought them credibility. That's what it was. And Matt nailed that. He signed with them, and when he was at the height of his career, world champion, Philadelphia Phillies, and all of that, he went out there and he signed with them, and they kind of opened the door to see Washington Nationals become, you know, the best team in the National League East.
the pitch hit home run, obviously, by Adam Lind. You mentioned it, Matt, was the game breaker here for Washington. Over to Miami, JT Realmuto batting second, went 2-for-4. You like to see that. Just a couple other hits, two of them from Eddie Volquez. Not much else going on for the Miami Marlins lineup.
Yeah.
I do believe Stanton was robbed of a homer by Wirth. I didn't see it, but I was told that Jason Wirth kind of reached over the fence to take one back.
Very cool.
Yeah, see, Giancarlo Stanton, he hit him long. He hit him long. He hit it like very far. I guess he didn't get all of that one.
In the other game in the NL East, the New York Metropolitans, again, you're watching, Matt, defeated Atlanta yesterday 6-0. Ooh. Noah Syndergaard went 6 strong innings, 5 hits, 7 strikeouts, left after 86 pitches due to that blister. Says he's going to be fine, as Modica mentioned, something you got to watch, though. Robert Gzelman gets some work in. He's a fifth starter.
I was nervous, but they brought Gzelman in. It's one of those things where he did need some work, but he came in, 2 hits immediately, and I'm like, this guy's going to get blown up on a day he shouldn't even be pitching.
Right.
You know, and I had John Gray and Garrett Cole disasters earlier.
He got you a strikeout, though.
Well, he luckily, for the stupidity of the Braves base running, he got out of that inning.
How do my Braves do?
A little bit annoying for your ERA and whip, potentially. Yes. Potentially. For the Mets, he got a couple stolen bases yesterday. One from Asdrubal Cabrera, who went 3-for-5 out of that, too. Also, a really nice first day for Asdrubal. And, of course, Wilmer Flores off the bench. Lucas Duda with the big game-breaking double here. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Sorry. A big game-breaking double with the bases loaded. That totally changed the game, as did a brutal job by your guy, Tyler Flowers. Like, a brutal job.
Why he wasn't in front of the plate. That was a great throw by Ender Inciarte.
Throw by Ender Inciarte.
Textbook
throw. Tyler Flowers behind the plate. If he was just in front of the plate, he had an easy out.
Yeah, I cannot. There's no excuse for that. We were screaming the same thing. Like, well, like, he's safe because for some reason he stayed behind home plate.
Correct. Very silly.
You never see a catcher do that. So that was just an oddball.
It's a bad job by Tyler Flowers. What it is?
Oh, this is an interesting tweet.
Is it?
I don't want to forget it.
Save it for 1 second. Just leave it on your screen. I know you're very busy.
Let's not forget the pitching matchup of the Braves.
That's where I'm going next, because I don't want to lose my train of thought.
No,
he's reading tweets here.
This is a good one from your guy, Vlad.
Julio Teheran, 6 innings, 4 hits, 3 walks, 6 strikeouts, 96 pitches. He looked very good, I think.
Yeah, he was looking nasty early on. He struck out the side in the first.
Good.
The ball was moving nicely.
He looked really good.
He's a guy that I repeatedly said is going underrated.
Well, that's the thing. He's not sexy. He's kind of boring. But he's the Braves.
But he's SP. But he's an SP too.
Yeah, he is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is.
I totally agree with that.
I'm with you. Freddie Freeman went 3-for-4.
I love Freddie Freeman.
Had a triple. Didn't score on it, though.
He can rake, Freddie Freeman.
Dansby Swanson, 1-for-4. Matt Kemp had a 1-for-4. He struck out a couple times, but that one was a double. That's kind of it for the Braves and the Mets. Corey, what's your tweet?
So this is, you know, because we're going to be talking about you had your first DFS experience, whatever.
Talk about it a little
so
bit later
your man
on.
Vlad tweeted, only 2 of Kevin Kiermaier's 12 home runs last year were hit-off left-handed pitching. Both came against CC Sabathia.
Yep.
He pitches today.
I also believe he had another good tweet today, Vlad. Matt Carpenter is hitless versus the pitcher he'll be facing today, Jake Arrieta, and I believe 30 career at-bats.
Should I bench him then?
I like to leave the guys, my core guys, in no matter what. I mean, for DFS, I wouldn't play him. I'm putting a lineup together right now, and Matt Carpenter is not in it.
So you know that.
I'm going with the $2,800 Greg Bird.
Interesting. We'll talk about DFS in a few moments here. Gentlemen, continuing on with some of the baseball from yesterday.
Let's go.
Opening day, ladies and gentlemen. One game went to extras yesterday. That was Baltimore and Toronto. Speaking of closers sucking, we arrive at Jason Grilley.
Well, I mean, Jason Grilley isn't elite in any way, but he's a person of interest right now. Does yesterday's what happened yesterday? Does that push somebody else up the ladder? Open up an opportunity to a guy I mentioned yesterday, like Joe Pagani? We'll wait and see. I'm still curious to know about Roberto Osuna's health. I mean, is it only going to be 10 days? Is it going to be more than 10 days? That is the most interesting thing here. So let's hopefully there's another save opportunity today, so we can see how it kind of plays out. But, I mean, Mark Trumbo, is just doing what Mark Trumbo did last year. He did get the first two guys. He did hang a slider and got lucky previously, but...
Do you want to note
I had him in my lineup yesterday and before the game started, and then I took him out. Like, I hate that.
Yeah. Joe Biagini did pitch the 7th and the 8th, so he would be the guy, theoretically. Only let one hit in his inning in 2/3. Of course, Grilly, as... Matt mentioned, hung that slider badly to Mark Trumbo twice. Trumbo missed the first one, did not miss the second one. Marco Estrada, 6 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs, 4 strikeouts. That's what Marco Estrada does, so no surprise there. Kevin Gausman, 5 1/3, 5 hits, 2 runs, 4 walks, 4 strikeouts, threw 100 pitches. What did you think of Gausman yesterday?
I mean, you don't want to see the four walks.
The walks are disgusting.
Yeah, the walks are not what you want to see, especially against teams of, like, the Blue Jays caliber. That's, like, as Corey said before, you put guys on base, you're going to pay when you got power hitters coming up. So that needs to be corrected. But Gausman is a guy that I think could do really good things this season.
The... Orioles, of course, we kept saying it. Mark Trumbo, the walk-off shot. 2 for 5 is DH yesterday, including that solo home run. Chris Davis, 1 for 5. Manny Machado, one of those unbelievable plays at third base because it was insane. Yep. His arm is just stupid. Can't wait till he's a Yankee.
He's just so much fun to watch at third base.
Seth Smith, we talked about him leading off, 1 for 4. I pulled Jonathan Scope at the literally the last second out of my DFS lineup.
That was a good idea.
And that was a good idea because he went 0 for 4.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
I took out Jonathan Scope. And I put in Devin Travis. Travis went 2 for 6. Josh Donaldson behind him, 3 for 5. That middle of the order, Bautista, Morales, Tulowitzki, Russell Martin, they go a combined 0 for 17 yesterday.
That's no bueno, as we said.
Yeah, but Josh Donaldson did good. He was 3 for 5, and he had a walk, too. So,
as was Steve Pierce. He went 3 for 5. Only saw 8 pitches, but Steve Pierce, I know a lot of people like toward the end of the spring, had a nice little day.
Yeah, and he's named the starting left fielder, I believe. So I always thought he would get outfield eligibility. It might come a hell of a lot quicker than I expected. And I definitely is a guy that you should be monitoring to see what he does in possible and even in 12-teamers.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, 2 more games from yesterday we haven't mentioned yet. Los Angeles' dominating victory over San Diego and Minnesota's interesting victory over KC. Those 2 games, I'm sorry, 3 more games left. Houston and Seattle was late as well. Those 3 games, and we wrap up baseball, turn to DFS, 9:45 Eastern. Stick around. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. All right, back here. Road Rush for the morning. 3 games more to get to from yesterday. And I want to start, actually, in Minnesota's 7-1 victory over Kansas City, because I was impressed by a lot of what I saw.
Big Irv!
By Irvin Santana. The former Royal, right? He's played for the Royals. Yeah.
Irv's been around.
He's been a few places, Irv. Irv's bounced around. You know, he was in Atlanta for a minute, like a year or so.
Then they made a lot of money. Went to the Angels, of course.
Yep.
Santana, 7 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, 3 strikeouts for Irvin Santana. The only run he allows was a Mike Moustakas bomb in the 4th inning, which was countered with a Miguel Sano moonshot.
Yeah.
That was the hardest hit home run of the day, or of opening day, which includes Madison Bumgarner stuff, 114 miles per hour.
Statcast. That's a new thing. Stan
well, speaking of Irv Santana, over his last 19 starts, he's allowed 3 runs or more only 3 times.
So what's he got? Because remember, he signed with Minnesota, got suspended for steroids, then came back, and now he's good again. Probably back on the steroids.
That could well be the case. Likely. But like I said, I was preaching the whole offseason that he was a guy at the back of your rotation in deeper leagues that you want on your rotation staff, whatever you want to call it, because he's going to give you the innings. He's usually going to pitch to an under 4 ERA, and in this current climate, those are good things.
So this is a no, right?
Yeah, he jacked that pole.
I was going to put him in DFS lineup yesterday, but I was afraid of rain.
Sure.
For this game right here. This game had a little bit of a rain threat to it, so I wanted to avoid the rain. But this was a situation that set up very good for Miguel Sano. Now, excuse me for this question right here.
Yep.
The guy that hit second yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Roger Grossman?
Yeah, is he his fantasy guy?
That's the guy that took the job of Bungo Park.
He took Bianco Park's job.
Okay, all right, bet. So this is it right here. Because he had a... Did he hit a home run yesterday?
No, he did not.
An RBI double or something?
He had no hits, Robbie Grossman.
He has an RBI, though.
Well, yeah.
Walk?
Like a, no, I believe it was a sack fly. No, he walked, sorry. He walked, yeah.
Okay. All right, so we need to get Park back.
Right. So, anyway, Miguel Sano had a nice day with that monster home run. Two RBIs, two runs, a really good day for Miguel Sano. Not so much for Byron Buxton. 0-for-5 in that 3-hole, which was a little surprised.
Three times.
Exactly. A little surprised to see him in the 3-hole. 0-for-5 with 3 strikeouts. Brian Dozier led this one off. He went 1-for-4 with a run scored and a walk. I did like to see what Jorge Polanco did, because I'm always keeping track of him. The shortstop went 2-for-3 with an RBI, a run scored, and a walk. So good day for Jorge Polanco.
Yeah, I was monitoring Jorge Polanco as well. He was a fallback option in many leagues as a late round shortstop or middle infielder. So I think he's somebody that, you know, he's going to play for the Twins every day. Hopefully he can produce circa 10 home runs, more than 10 stolen bases, and give a nice little boost to your team as a late round value.
Danny Duffy yesterday continued exactly what he did in the WBC. 6 innings, 3 hits, 1 run. He walked 3, which you don't love, but 8 strikeouts yesterday for Danny Duffy. So good day for him. They got, is Mitch Strom, right? Matt Strom, who Nando, of course, is high on. Gets blown up in that 7th inning. He only gets 1 out. 4 Kansas City, just 3 hits total. One was Moustakas' home run. Other comes from leadoff hitter Alex Gordon. The other one comes from Salvador Perez. Not a single other hit in this Royals lineup, Corey.
Yeah, and this is going to be tough. Looks like they're putting some runs together and able to push runners across home plate. Maybe an issue for the Kansas City Royals throughout the course of the season. But Irv Santana got the job done yesterday. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think what we know is interesting to see how the things on this lineup shakes out. Raul Mondesi batting 9th is the guy that people are going to be intrigued and interested in. But, you know, he was 0-4. Right quick, back to Buxton right quick.
Oh, sure.
This guy, he can't, you know, you have to hit the ball, son.
Well, he could play center field, though. I will say that. He made an incredible catch last year. But I don't
okay,
think
he made one incredible catch last year. So now he's
no, yeah, I mean, he made an incredible, but he should be batting 3rd. That's the coach's
what I'm thinking.
He should be batting 9th is where he should be batting.
This guy can't hit in the middle of the damn lineup.
No.
He can't. He strikes out.
Yeah.
I can do that.
You sure can. The Astros defeated Seattle last night 3-0 as Dallas Keuchel, I could be very dead wrong on this dude, 7 innings of 2 hit ball, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts.
I love him.
Threw just 85 pitches in 7 innings.
He kept that ball down. That was very encouraging. If you're a Dallas Keuchel owner.
Hugely.
I had him in early 20s. I bumped him down when they kind of held him back a little at the beginning of spring training. But Keuchel has done nothing to, owners should be very encouraged by that start. And even Felix, you know.
Give him 1 sec. Luke Gregerson pitched the 8th. Kenny Giles strikes out the side of the 9th.
That was what we wanted to see. We didn't want any repeat of last year. Any doors to open for Luke Gregerson.
He's one of the closers that did not screw up yesterday.
Yeah, good for Ken
Giles.
I
mean, I'm very high on Giles, but he needed to lock that down. And the 3 strikeouts was exactly what we wanted to see.
On the other side, King Felix, 5 shaky innings, 5 hits, 2 runs, 6 strikeouts, left with a groin injury.
Oh, I think
tightness in that groin.
With Felix, in all honesty, it was better than I was more encouraged by it.
I think you gotta be.
The problem was
the long ball.
Yeah, he can't leave that pitch up in the zone because he's gonna get punished every time he does that. But I was a bit encouraged. Supposedly, as you mentioned earlier, the groin issue is nothing major. He's expected to make that next start. So if I'm a Felix owner, I'm a bit encouraged. You know, but the pinpoint control is something that he's going to need going forward.
I'll take the 6 strikeouts, no walks, the 2 bombs. Listen, he gave it up to George Springer and Carlos Correa. You feel what I'm saying?
These guys can play.
The leadoff hitter. Did you make that bet in Vegas?
I did not. I didn't make any bets in Vegas. I got to the window. It was too early or too late.
I hate when that happens.
Springer led off the game with the home run. Correa, as Corey mentioned, another home run. Altuve strikes out twice, which is crazy. I feel like he didn't strike out twice ever. He did. Alex Bregman went 1-for-3. He stole his first base of the year. That was cool. And that was kind of it for Houston. Over to Seattle. 2-for-4 day by Jeannie Segura. But all singles, right? Dallas Keuchel and Luke Gregerson only had 3 hits. And they were all singles. So Seattle's big-time offense core, which everybody loves, shut down yesterday.
It's
one game, I'm just saying.
One game, everything would be okay.
Yeah, I mean, Keuchel was dealing yesterday. And like I said, he kept that ball down, which is what he needs to do.
You know, it's crazy. Mike Zunino and Gerard Dyson, the 8-9 hitters yesterday, when a combined 0 for 6, saw 13 pitches total, which is unbelievable. How about this? Nelson Cruz, Kyle Seager, Danny Valencia, Leonis Martin, Mike Zunino, Gerard Dyson. That is the 5-9 hitters in this order. Go a combined 0 for 15 on the day. Mitch Haniger, the right fielder, all contributed to that as well. He batted second. He went 0 for 3 as well. 0 for 18 for those guys. The only two people to get hits, Gene Segura and Robbie Cano. What do you know? One more game. Final game of the evening yesterday. The Dodgers whip San Diego 14-3. Clayton Kershaw had an unearned run in the first. And you know me, Corey, as a Clayton Kershaw owner, I was like, what the hell? I expect a perfect game.
yeah, that was not his fault.
No,
but the most interesting thing about that first run was the betting line was like minus 400, went down to minus 350.
Right.
So it was like no way Kershaw was going to lose. So as the game progressed, we all know what happened. But that first inning, it had to leave some people nervous.
a little bit. So he allows that unearned run. Dodgers get it back in the second inning with Jock Peterson sack fly. And then in the third, the Dodgers didn't look back. They just dominated for Yuli Chacin, who went 3 1/3, 8 hits, 9 runs allowed. Christian Betancourt comes in. It doesn't go any better for him, the former catcher or half catcher, half reliever.
The catcher had a better ERA than the pitcher.
The catcher had a much better ERA than the pitcher. It's a brutal day for him. If you owned the Dodger yesterday, things probably went well for you. Corey Seager goes deep, which was great. Yasmani Grandal went deep twice, which was great. Jock Peterson went deep for a big one.
That was a grand salami. I was listening to that on the radio.
That's a big one, like I said. Every single player in the Dodgers lineup had a hit yesterday, including Clayton Kershaw. So like I said, you owned the Dodger, things went your way yesterday.
And our guy Tolles too. He let off and he had 2 hits.
Yeah.
So I had Corey Seager, Yasmani Grandal in my DFS lineups yesterday, along with Forsythe. So I felt good about the way that came out, and I still just barely hit the cash line. But everybody, of course, was on Adam.
Is play FanDuel or DraftKings?
I play on DraftKings.
Okay.
You play on FanDuel?
I played on FanDuel yesterday.
DraftKings.
Why?
You might like it better.
I just have money in my FanDuel account.
Oh yeah.
So trying to figure out what the cash line was in cash games yesterday for FanDuel is why I asked. So yeah, everybody in the Dodgers lineup, and then Clayton Kershaw, when you give him a 30-run lead, probably not going to blow it.
the only damage done to Kershaw was
Ryan Schimpf's solo shot, which at that point, he's up 30 runs, he's going to throw it down the middle. If you hit it, great. If you don't, whatever. And that was easy. Nice, easy day at the office for Kershaw. Only throws 84 pitches, strikes out 8, doesn't walk anybody. Clayton Kershaw proved why he was number one pick for so many, including you, sir. Matt Bodega, so you got to be proud with that. For San Diego, it was Kershaw. Not much you could see out of this. Schimpf hits a solo shot. Manny Margot hit a double, which was cool. Solarte had a hit. Will Myers did not. Austin Hedges struck out twice and then eventually got pinch hit for it. Not much to take out of this game because it was Clayton Kershaw and... You know.
Yeah, everybody gets a mulligan when you're facing Kershaw.
Yes, you do. Only game rained out yesterday was the one we expected to be rained out, Corey. The White Sox and the Tigers, they will replay that today in the only day game on the schedule, a 2:10 start
What a mistake by Major League Baseball.
In Chi-Town. Very stupid. Very stupid.
Silly when you got everybody's attention.
Everyone's excited about baseball, and now we'll just put it on at 7 o'clock. And
yeah,
at
7 o'clock at night when everybody's like, oh, I'm getting ready for bed.
Yeah, I'm going to eat dinner and watch TV. And, yeah. You know,
looking to see if the same, I'm assuming these same lineups will be out.
You'd think so. All right, when we come back, I'm going to talk about my first ever, true story, first ever MLB DFS experience. Corey will talk about his opening day DFS experience, and Corey will give some picks for tonight or after the show. Come over next. This is a new Radicals? How the hell? That's interesting. One, two, three, four!
I don't know what this is, Greg.
This is the new Radicals. You only get what you give.
Yeah, this is like an old song, though, right?
90s.
Yeah.
90s song.
I thought I recognized.
Final few minutes here of the program. Up next, special edition of Old School Fantasy. It's a fantasy football frenzy with Corey Parson, George Kurtz, Scott Engel. We're hanging out.
Yeah, fantasy football frenzy taking over for old school today. So getting ready to talk some fantasy football coming up to 11 a.m. Eastern time. So that's what we'll do. We'll talk some football. Obviously, we'll talk some Tony Romo. I got a question to pose to you, Greg. You're going to hang out for the first segment. We'll get into some early ADPs from MFL from the MFL 10s. And we'll also talk about baseball, football players that also have played baseball.
Oh, and just for fantasy football lovers, I know the ML10s are out there, but I believe the NFFC is coming out with a $25
Yes, game. The NFFC, National Fantasy Football Championship,
let that cat out of the bag.
is going to, sometime after the NFL draft, will start running $25 draft champion. So the MFL 10's model is clearly working. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's starting to go to it now.
I kind of asked that question this weekend, and that was confirmed. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So about a month from now, we'll be drafting fantasy football teams.
All right. So
you're such a hater. You know that, Greg?
Hey, a month from now, it's baseball season, dude. I'm into it.
You can multitask. You can do more than one thing.
Well, I wouldn't get Santiago Casilla if I did that.
That's the problem.
So yesterday I was downstairs and you guys were talking on old school. I know Corey, you mentioned your DFS team, and Benny walks in, and I'm like, Benny, like, who's like, I had never played baseball DFS. Like, I talked about it on the radio for years, but like, I never really actually played it. Like, literally for years, I'd have to give my picks in DFS. I was paid to do that, Corey. I never made it. I never put my money where my mouth was.
Yeah, it happens.
Because I wasn't into it, you know. But I had some success in basketball. I was like, you know what? I got to try this baseball thing. I mean, I'm a little into it now. I understand DFS a little bit more. So I played like a single entry thing.
You enjoyed it, didn't you?
Well, I enjoyed it because I won. Okay. I wouldn't have enjoyed it so much if I lost.
But the actual process of putting the lineup together and going through the splits and looking at the you know what I'm saying, the Woba and all of that stuff, or considering do you stack a team or do you like this pitcher or that pitcher, that process had to be enjoyable, right?
Well, it was only enjoyable because I won again. Like, well, I'll tell you what. I got super excited for my players doing well on my fantasy teams and my DFS guys. I was like, wow, I nailed it today. I nailed it. I was pumped up.
Yeah, I'm looking at the...
But like, I don't have that incentive again today because like, it's all at night.
Let it roll. Parlay.
Right, I can do that. Like, if I listen to the DFS lineup lock show tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern, that'll work. Or if I read the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Package, which is brand new, available right now at rotoexperts.com. In-season package. You got your waiver wire pickups, your insider report from Scott Angle, a whole lot in there. Maybe then I'll be more apt to play DFS.
Well, not to mention the fact also that Daily Roto is free this week.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get in on that Daily Roto.
Yeah, so Daily Roto is free this week, so that's obviously something that you can do right there. Is head on over to dailyroto.com and sign up for this week. Their stuff is free, and then sign up for the full season thing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, do you want to hear?
Let's go with it.
Let's hear the winning lineup.
Let's go with the winning lineup.
I don't know if this is any good.
What is this? This is a 50. You was in a double up. What were you doing?
So I was in a double up with only 10 people.
Okay.
So top five make money.
Okay.
Pretty simple.
Did you win?
I did.
Okay, good.
I put up 144.4.
You did better than me.
FanDuel points. But I don't, it's
FanDuel. Oh, it's FanDuel. That's right. That's
FanDuel
right.
FanDuel point. I don't know if that's good or not. The winner.
Let me hear what you had.
I put up 165. Okay,
that's good. What did you have?
My pitcher was Clayton Kershaw.
Obviously.
So that was good.
Percent owned was probably 100.
80 out of 100, yeah. JT Realmuto, 12.2.
That was excellent play.
Yep. Eric Thames, 19.2.
Mm-hmm. That was very good play. Also, I think he was one of the guys that came in there. I looked at him as a fringe play on the outside, but I think Thames definitely. I want to see him before I'm start rostering.
Understandably so. I think the smarter play, and I didn't do it, which was stupid. Was Mark Reynolds? I feel like a lot of people were into Mark Reynolds yesterday.
I played the big fella.
Yeah,
Chris Davis.
Mm-hmm. My second baseman was Devin Travis.
I had a lineup with Travis in it. Yep.
Travis Shaw was my third baseman.
You talked to Benny yesterday.
Travis Shaw.
So I picked those by myself. I asked Benny, like, is this a good idea? Because I know they're going against John Gray.
Yeah.
He's like, well, the two guys you picked were lefties, so I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
So that worked out. At the last second, I actually changed my shortstop from Corey Seager to Trey Turner.
Yeah.
That didn't work.
No, yeah. I played Corey Seager. I think Corey Seager and Yasmani Grandal, along with Clayton Kershaw, were the chalk yesterday.
Yes, they were. Yasmani Grandal and did very, very well, of course.
Yeah.
With two home runs. You know, I played, because of you guys, I played Odubel Herrera yesterday.
How'd that go?
Yeah,
I had him in my lineup. I had him in my lineup too.
Yeah, you know, he had a double and two walks.
I took him out, but I had him in my
it's
lineup.
Not bad.
Also, yeah,
it's not bad. Jose Bautista did not have a good day.
He was in my lineup. Benny was talking him up. And yeah. So I did some changes. And I got Joey Bats in there, but that the lineup with Joey Bats did not do too well.
And I had Michael Saunders as well as my outfielder.
I was looking at Michael Saunders. I didn't play him, though, but I thought it was intriguing.
The other chalk, so the chalk plays that seemingly I missed, or the biggest one I missed, was Curtis Granderson, who didn't have a good day. He had just a single and an RBI single. That was it. So 6.5 points there on DraftKings. So that was it. Yasmani Grandal, as Corey mentioned, Mark Reynolds, as I mentioned, Corey Seager, some of the other popular plays. Curtis Granderson was the only one I missed. He was 50% owned.
So, exactly. So, there you go right there. So for the most part, the experience was pretty well.
Yeah. I mean,
are you going to do it again tonight?
You know what? Maybe. Because I have us in the DFS lineup locked tonight. If I'm around from 6 to 7, I can turn on Tony, Benny, then I'll do it. If not, I won't.
So we don't have no Clayton Kershaw tonight.
That's why, because I liked it, Corey. I'm sorry. Everything I locked at one. So I was sitting here. I was literally sitting here at work, listening to On Target, doing research, checking out lineups. So it was more fun for me.
Yeah. So tonight we have an 8-game slate on DraftKings that starts at 7:10 p.m. Eastern Time. There's also a 4-game slate that starts at 7:40. There's a 3-game slate that starts at 8:05. Then there's a nighttime slate with 3 games that starts at 9:40. So it's a number of different ways. I think I'm gonna try to attack this 8-game slate. And I'm looking at tonight's pitchers. I think there's no Clayton Kershaw tonight. Like the aces were yesterday.
But there's two guys I like on the West Coast, though.
And it's probably going to be the chalk. Johnny Cueto and Kenta Maeda.
One of them will be the chalk, Kenta Maeda. The other one will be Matt Shoemaker.
Really?
It's Oakland.
Going Shoemaker. What about, you don't like Johnny Cueto?
I guess. I mean, I do like ballpark. Johnny Cueto, but...
The ballpark tonight?
I mean, what I'm trying to do is get some bats in there, too. So
okay.
I'm trying to, you know, Shoemaker's 8,400, so that's a little more appealing.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Jake Arrieta also takes the mound tonight. And the Cubs. Now, the Cubs are going against Adam Wainwright.
Mm-hmm.
You probably have some Cubs in your lineup tonight.
in the lineup I'm building for the super fastball, I have Kyle Schwarber in there.
Probably it's a good idea. You get Cubs in your lineup versus Adam Wainwright. Adam Wainwright has a funky new delivery where he throws the ball to the plate underhanded. And it hasn't worked so far.
It's not nice.
Well, the good thing is we have that the games aren't until later. It's until lineup lock. I can go certified daily roto.
Yep.
And then may I see if my lineup is good or bad based on those recommendations.
So there you go right there. I'll mostly try to stick to cash games. I've already reserved my gameplay for the night. So I'm looking forward to it. And then we'll report back tomorrow, let everybody know how you're doing. Of course, right here on the program today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, you'll get a ton of information to help you ready yourself. And of course, also dailyroto.com free this week. So definitely go check that out. We're getting ready to talk football a little bit, though. So, you know what I'm saying? Fantasy Football Frenzy special edition coming up.
Yeah, special edition of Old School Fantasy here with the Fantasy Football Frenzy. I guess a lot of Romo talk?
We're going to start off with some Tony Romo. You'll slide over into this seat. We'll start off with some Tony Romo talk.
I love that you have to switch chairs with me.
Huh?
Like, this is the big chair. I love that you have to switch chairs with me, even though we're both going to be on the radio.
Yeah.
You're making me get up and sit there.
You don't have to. You can stay there.
I can stay there. He looks cool around the restaurant. He has to see anything he likes.
No. It's not that. I like that area because when you this is crazy how this works. Like my mind is like it's
right.
crazy.
Right.
When I'm sitting right there, I almost feel like George is in the studio with us.
Really?
But when I'm sitting here, I'm like, where the hell is George at? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. The human mind is intriguing.
George is like Pokemon.
And so when I sit right there, I feel like George is like sitting over there somewhere. And when I'm sitting right here, I feel like George is like Invincible Man, and so it's awkward. But you're not going to be here long.
Then you can sit here afterwards. I'll get up and you can move here.
Yeah, I have a proposition for you. The King, Scott Engel's getting ready to take his seat.
Yes, sir.
So we're getting ready to talk a little fantasy football coming up for the next hour or so. Fantasy Football Frenzy Special edition Fantasy Football Frenzy, holding it down for old school, but still got the king, still got the answer expert. So we'll talk a little Tony. There's a lot of stuff coming up, so there you go right there.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow morning, of course, for a whole lot of baseball talk, a lot of games tomorrow night, or tonight rather. I'll break them all down tomorrow morning for you, of course, on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Remember, Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Package is available right now, so go pick it up. Brand new! And it's not just for drafts. Drafts are over. Now you get all the insider reports from Scott Engel and so many more. For Matt Modica, for Corey Parson, I'm Greg Sussman. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Enjoy all the baseball. We are here. Fantasy Football Frenzy is up next. Have a wonderful afternoon, and we will see you right back here tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern. Bye-bye.